Hello world, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this August 1st, 2025. I have your host James here. We're here to talk with some of our favorite people, the Historic Point Boss. We have Mike Hittner with us. Good to see you, Mike, as always.
Yes, good morning, James, and everybody in Radioland.
We're talking today specifically about their wonderful event, Whodunit. And for that, of course, we bring in our good friend Luke Conkle, who, of course, the writer of these and everything. Luke, nice to have you in studio.
Man, good morning, James.
Good to have you here, man. We appreciate the time from you guys and all the effort, all the energy that is put into these events. We really do appreciate the way you keep history alive over there for us. Let's dive into this one. This particular Whodunit is going to be premiering Saturday, August 9th, 2 to 5, over at Wakely Road in Nakusa. We'll give you more details as we go along here. But Luke, where do I go with this story? What do I tee you up to so you can take it and everything? Because there's a lot of different angles on that.
That's what we all want to know, right?
Yeah.
This year we have known as a locked room mystery where somebody turns up dead under some, well, obviously it's a mystery, so mysterious circumstances and figuring out whether the sheriff seems convinced that it was a natural death, but not everybody is on board with that theory. Mm-hmm. So the trick isn't necessarily figuring out who done it, but what happened and how done it.
It's multifaceted. A lot of times it's just who done it, but this has got all different aspects, and especially since it was a locked room, and he was in there by himself.
So, I love those kind of mysteries. Yeah. They're the best. Some of my favorite Holmes stories are the ones like that. Yeah. When it comes to the idea, is this something you've had for a while, one you've been chewing on for a while, or just something that came recently?
Yeah, every year I sit down to write this and think, this might be the last one. I'm running out of stuff. But then usually as I'm working through it, I come up with a couple other things that I want to throw in there, but, you know, might make things a little bit too difficult or might add too many threads. And so this is one of the threads that I started pulling on a couple of years ago. Yeah. It's coming back around.
Luke came out during the festival and he was looking for ideas, I think, in June. And he brought his three little girls with him, and he was looking for ideas. Evidently, he got an idea because this is a 15th year for Luke from 2010 till now. So
it's really impressive. As a side note, being able to as a loose writer and as a creative, I'm blown away by what you do, man. And I think it's really, really cool, especially with the energy behind it, the passion behind it, the reasoning behind it, mm-hmm. and everything. I think that's very cool to do. Mm-hmm. When it comes to being able to hammer this out and then, you know, get it out there, get it to everybody, how did that process go? Once you had that idea, getting it written?
Mike can speak to it a little better, but it's a couple weeks later this year, and I warned him that just meant that it was a couple more weeks that I could procrastinate and get it to him.
But,
from sort of the idea phase, it starts out, I have obviously kind of an outline of what the reveal is going to be, who done it or what happened.
Yeah.
And then, working backwards from that outline to more of an outline of, each character, figuring out first which characters I need and, how they're going to connect maybe sort of loosely to past years, that sort of thing. And then outlining, each character, maybe motive, means, opportunity, that sort of thing. And then, from there, taking some of their, like Mary Wakely has, she's sort of evolved into the
town gossip.
Yeah, the town gossip character. And so, where does, being the town gossip fit into this particular year's mystery, that sort of thing. So.
Is there any danger of this being a little similar to a Murder, She Wrote scenario where it seems like everywhere Angela Lansbury went, there was a murder? I don't know if anybody ever caught that, but it seems like it. So what's going on over at Wakely?
Well,
there are so many, like over these, I'm kidding. If
you're a fan of a lot of these British detective shows, these really, really small communities out in the hinterland have one murder after another, and you wonder where can all these murders come? This town is about 400 people. Who's coming through there?
I know
or whatever.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, Luke, how do you keep from? And I can't imagine it actually probably happens with the story somewhat, but you don't want to repeat yourself. You don't want to go to the same well too many times. And as Mike touched on, you've been doing this for over a decade and everything. How do you keep yourself from doing that? How do you keep yourself fresh with this?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's probably organic.
I don't have a good answer. You know, I try to not, you know, like, it's a locked room mystery. We had one other locked room mystery 4 or 5 years ago now. You know, so I try to not do, you know, the same kind of mystery. I'm trying to decide how to answer this question without giving too much away. But you know, the there's really only a small handful of, you know, motivations for murder, you know, you know, kind of cycling through them and, you know,
that's a good way to do it.
Going back to it. Yeah.
I know. I'm a big fan of, you know, detective shows and all of that. And I grew up loving Columbo, like a lot of people. And I remember reading not too long ago, actually, a lot of the writers on that show would approach it as they would start from the end and then go back.
Yeah.
Is that a little bit of what you've done before?
Yeah,
that's
essentially it. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, figuring out.
That's interesting to me. Yeah. That's a cool way to write. Yeah. I've never written that way, and I find that awesome. That's really fun. Yeah. I want to try it immediately.
Yeah. For some people, especially my wife, she loved Columbo because she had it solved in the beginning, and then they went back through and showed what transpired to that point. And, you know, for some people, it's kind of a different genre to do it from backwards forward or something like that.
Yeah, and this is sort of a, you know, people talked about Monk, you know, being a sort of reincarnation of Columbo in some ways. And and one of the sort of fun things about that show is in a lot of cases, no pun intended, they would actually give you they would show the audience the actual crime at the beginning, right? And then you would have to sort of figure out not what happened, but how Monk figured it out, right?
Exactly.
And so that's I mean, none of our actors know which one of them did it, but I think this year more than other years, I think maybe if they read carefully, they can maybe figure it out. And so there's maybe a little bit of that flavor here where, you know, that they might actually know what happened, and they're sort of trying to piece it together for the audience.
You kind of saw where I was going with this, with those shows. I think Law and Order is another one of my favorites, where they kind of give you the crime and then you kind of have to figure out yourself, and you're playing along at home in a way with this. It's almost like a game show in some ways of trying to figure out who the you know, the criminal is and all that. And then we, of course, have our whodunit, which is extremely similar to this. And to those that may not know much about this event, Mike, can we tell them how this breaks down, how this goes?
Well, it starts at 2 o'clock. People usually come, some early people come at 1:30. I would suggest for those that would like to do this and are somewhat serious about it, probably don't come any later than probably 3:30, because it takes you time to go from one character to another, and they're spread out somewhat, not more than a couple hundred yards, but they're spread out. And what one character says, you may want to go back and verify what ties them into this other character, or maybe some of the other character told something that conflicts with what the other person told you. So you got to have time to go back and forth. And sometimes, you know, people do it 4 or 5 times that really get into this, you know, that love this sort of murder mystery sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so, opens at 2, and Luke does the reveal at 5 or shortly after 5. And so, plan plenty of time, I think. I would say at least a minimum of an hour and a half that you got time to go around. You don't necessarily have to be there at 1:30. Some people are there at 1:30. They enjoy that. They sit down. They probably picnic or something. I don't know. I'm in the house. I don't know all the time what's happening on the outside. But I'm thinking some people just enjoy the day, I think, too, and the camaraderie that maybe friends and family have with it.
Being outdoors, being on those grounds alone is a great time, and it just feels good, especially this time of year. Getting to play, I've been fortunate to do a lot of roles in my life, and I'm hopefully fortunate to do more. But playing Sherlock Holmes will always be way up at the top for me. You get to play Sherlock. You get to be this. You get to be Columbo. Get to be all of those characters, all your favorite detectives and everything. Go out there and ask these different actors, these different people playing these characters, these questions, and kind of find out for yourself who done it. I appreciate you bringing up one point that I remember in years past I had somebody bring up. Can I go back and ask people questions after I talk to them? And there's not really I would say that there's probably rules to this, but more rules that are just kind of common sense, you know, more so. Not to say that so bluntly, but nobody's going to tell you who did anything because they don't know. I think that's in a really cool part of this, Luke. So even if they wanted to, they can't say anything because they don't know. That's awesome.
Yeah, we can't give it away, that, and that's good that we don't know, because you know, you could make inferences, you know, it's easy, you know, the way you look or something, and you could give it away and you don't even know you gave it away.
Right.
So I think that it's important for people to go around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people really get into it after a while and they go around. And then when other people are there, listen to what questions and answers they get, because sometimes, you know, they're getting different answers than maybe you got. And so you can kind of catch somebody in maybe not a lie, but maybe an untruth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There've been a couple of times where folks have benefited almost more from, you know, some people are kind of shy. They don't want to ask questions right up front. And so they've benefited from listening into like two or three groups asking their own questions and realizing that maybe some stories are a little inconsistent, you know, even with the same character.
Sherlock had Watson to balance off of and everything. So the idea of doing it with a group or something or working with people, I love that. That's a fun way of doing this. And when it comes to the story, it's a fun one, an exciting one, and it has local ties to it, which also can, you know, give out history lessons in itself as well.
Well, we got a new thing, Luke, written into it this year, Carver's Claim, which was refuted by the U.S. Congress in 1823, where a guy went through when it was British area and had mapped it out, and somehow he had signed some treaties with Sioux Indian chiefs.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, that he had 10,000 acres they gave him, and all this, you know, flim-flam people were trying to sell on this, probably up as far as the Civil War or later, is trying to sell some of this land on that basis yet.
Yeah. Hmm. That's a really interesting part of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I always try to have some little, you know, historical connection.
He likes factoids. And
yeah.
Hey, I'm with you. I'm, you know, and all of us being lovers of history, really, in like an event like this is such a fun way of getting it across. There are teachers out there that are like, oh, can I do that? Yeah, that's an awesome lesson plan.
And this is probably one of our earlier ones. This takes place in the early 1840s, where a lot of them were up closer to the Civil War and this sort of thing. So this is back, you know, right after Carver's thing was turned down by Congress. And a lot of people probably didn't know the facts of it or even knew about the Congress turning it down. So they were still going on the flim-flam guys trying out there to sell the real estate.
Yeah. Yeah, and if we have some regular folks that come back every year, you kind of have to suspend disbelief a little bit with our timeline. You know, people are here that maybe, you know, were here, you know, a couple years in the future, but, you know.
We probably have to study who's president in 1841 or something.
Yeah. That's art. That's art, you know. That's part of the responsibility of the you know, people, the people being entertained, is to be able to take a little suspension of belief and all that. All the shows we mentioned, all the books, all done that. You know, they've all done that. So it's something that I think, especially if you're coming to this event, one of the major reasons I would think is to be a part of this, be a part of the whodunit, and you're going to be able to do that. And we encourage you to not only do that, but check out the grounds. You know, look around a little bit, especially if you haven't been there in a while or if you've never been down there. It's a perfect opportunity to come check things out, Mike.
It's a good opportunity. You know, the barn will be open, the three-bay shed, the bunkhouse, the house. So you can go around and see some of those buildings if you haven't been there or maybe you haven't been there for a while. So, and we separate all the characters. You know, like the Hollises, Maggie and Jeremiah will be in the barn, but one will be at the small door and one will be at the big door. And the same with the Turners, one will be in the three-bay shed on the north side, one will be on the south side. So we separate all the characters so they can't collude with each other, you might say, and they have to kind of tell their story as they see it.
Mm-hmm. It's a great idea.
Yeah. One thing to watch out for, though, you know, you talk about the site and that sort of thing, is that, you know, every once in a while we'll have somebody that'll see an artifact, you know, some, you know, site dressing and assume that it's been planted as part of the mystery. But, you know, we don't need to rely on physical evidence in this
right
case.
And there's no props that pertain to his death there.
Right,
so,
right.
So they're looking around for strange bottles or something. Maybe it was a poisoning or whatever it was. And they're always looking for something.
Yeah.
I would have definitely done that.
Yeah.
Thank you. We look forward to this one. And it's right around the corner, everybody. The Historic Point Bosses Murder Mystery Whodunit coming up Saturday, August 9th, 2 to 5, over at 364 Wakely Road in Nacoosa. Admission is $5 for adults. Students are $3. Preschool and members are getting in for free. As we always like to note, Mike, those prices haven't changed if you've been coming to this for 10 years. We appreciate you guys doing that. We want to support you guys like you're supporting us with stuff like that and keeping history alive.
It's, so it's get a to feedback this system.
Yeah. Get on down and make plans for this one. And if you'd like more information, you can go to historicpointboss.com. Head on over there, bookmark that page, and keep up to date on all the great things they're doing. We'll be talking next month probably about the Harvest Fair and some other great events coming up over there, Mike.
Thanks, James, and
thank
WFHR.
Thank you. And Luke, great to have you in studio, man. Great to be on.
Thanks
a lot for being here. We appreciate you again. And appreciate all of you for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic.